As some of you might have noticed, when we came up front, I set an hourglass out here. I don't want you freaking out on that or thinking too much about it right now, but at the end, I will have some comments to make dealing with that. I'm going to start off with my first scripture in the second book of Nephi, the third chapter, and I'm going to start with verse 7. Sorry, I got the wrong chapter there. Okay, starting with verse 7. And now, if the Lamb of God, he being holy, should have need to be baptized by water to fulfill all righteousness, oh then, how much more need have we, being unholy, to be baptized, yea, even by water? And now I would ask of you, my brother, beloved brethren, wherein the Lamb of God did fulfill all righteousness in being baptized by water, know ye not that he was holy? But notwithstanding he being holy, he showed unto the children of men that according to the flesh he humbled himself before the Father and witnessed unto the Father that he would be obedient unto him in keeping his commandments. Wherefore, after he was baptized with water, the Holy Ghost descended upon him in the form of a dove. And again it showed unto the children of men the straightness of the path and the narrowness of the gate by which they should enter, he having set the example before them. And he said unto the children of men, follow thou me. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, can we follow Jesus, save we shall be willing to keep the commandments of the Father? We've all heard that saying. Some of us probably had some of it read to us at our baptisms, or at our confirmations, or at a sacrament service. So it's not new to us. The key thing was, are we going to obey the commandments? I would like to go back in the 12th chapter of the second book of Nephi. And what I think is interesting in my Book of Mormon, the little explanations they give at the top, usually on the right side page as to what's being discussed in there, refers to these as modern exercises. Modern exercises. And if you come down on that page, starting at verse 30 through 40, we are given warnings. And it says, woe be unto. And it says it at least 7 times in those verses. But if we come on down to verse 36 through 39, then it talks about precept and precepts and mentioned them 5 times. I would like to start reading at verse 35. Woe be unto him that shall say, we have received the word of God, and we need no more of the word of God, for we have enough. For behold, thus saith the Lord God, I will give unto the children of men line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. And this one pay close attention to. And blessed are those who hearken unto my precepts and lend an ear unto my counsel, for they shall learn wisdom. For unto him that receiveth, I will give more. And from them that say, or that shall say, we have enough, shall be taken away even that which they have. Cursed is he that putteth his trust in man, and maketh flesh his arm. For shall hearken unto the present precepts of men, save their precepts shall be given by the power of the Holy Ghost. Now most of us have heard that scripture several times, and I think I understand it fairly well. But I was curious and looked up the word precept. And the first definition in the dictionary says, a prescribed rule of conduct or action. And the second one says, instructions or demonstration regarding, instruction or directions regarding a given course of action. And then it had, in that same one, especially in morals. Brothers and sisters, our God has given us an enormous amount of scriptures, giving us instructions of how we are to live and how we are to prepare ourselves in things that we are to watch out for, things we're not to be involved in. In other words, woes, things we are to be always cognizant of and be thinking about. And I would like to discuss one of them today because of the events that are going to be happening here in the near future. I would like to read from Psalms chapter 106. Now you've got to remember in here that Israel has rebelled, and there's quite a little bit, but I'm going to start with verse 35. Now this was given many, many, many years ago, but think about us today if some of this still applies. And it's talking to the people of Israel. But were mingled, and he's talking about the people being mingled among the heathen, and learned their works. Are we among the heathen? Are we learning the works of those around us? And they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, who they sacrificed unto the idols of Cain. And the land was polluted with blood. Does that sound familiar today? With the abortion issue? Thus were they defiled with their own works, and went a-whoring with their own inventions. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance. Brothers and sisters, this is going on down through time, but it is worse today than ever before. Satan is diligently trying to destroy us. Most of you young people aren't familiar with this, but most of us that are older, that have voted for many, many years, I've been able to vote for over 50 years now. Never in my life have I seen politics the way they are today in this nation. Satan is working strong to destroy this land that our forefathers established and to kill the kingdom of our Heavenly Father. I don't know about most of you, but my wife and I have paid close attention, as we do all the time. At no other time, any election that I've ever participated in, and I don't care whether you're a Democrat, you're a Republican, or what, or if you're a senior citizen and you listen to AARP, or you're a union member, teachers union, steelworkers union, machinists union, Teamsters union, I don't care. If you listen to the commercials, you find that almost all of these groups support things that are contrary to our Lord and Savior. They're trying to draw us apart from our God. We need to be diligent. In this election, of any of them I've ever participated in, I think it is as clear as it has ever been. You have pro-life on one side and Planned Parenthood on the other side by all the people that are out there. And brothers and sisters, you've just heard that scripture about sacrificing, that it was an abomination. That has not changed, and we have polluted this land with the blood. And we come this day to partake of the Lord's Supper. And what did our Savior say? Suffer the little children to come unto me. Now I admit in that story it's young people that have already been born, but I firmly believe he means all the children, because they already have a soul and a spirit in that womb. And if you think about it, think of Mary. You know, what is it? 50 days away or something like that, 51, and we'll be celebrating Christmas when the world has decided to celebrate it. Our Savior's birth. And if you think back then what they did to a woman, isn't it amazing that Mary, you know, she lived with ridicule and suspicions of what had happened. But she chose life for our Savior, that he might be able to come to this earth and offer himself as that sacrifice. I think the burden that falls on us, basically in about 48 hours, it's great that we stand for what our Lord wants us to. In Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 24th verse, we're familiar with this one. We hear it a lot. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. And here again, this is probably more to those of us that are older. Mammon, I thought I understood, and I have it pretty good. But the dictionary says, a personification of riches or worldly gain. I don't know how many times I have heard even Latter-day Saints say they want to vote for this person because they're going to protect their Social Security. Are they going to create jobs? All we think about is our wealth and our finances, not our God. Which master are we going to serve? In Exodus, the 23rd chapter, the 7th verse, it just says, "Keep thee far from a false matter, and the innocent and the righteous slay thou not, for I will not justify the wicked." Our Lord is very clear, and our God. In 1 John, the 3rd chapter, in the 29th verse, "Whosoever is born of God does not continue in sin. For the Spirit of God remaineth in him, and he cannot continue in sin. Because he is born of God, having received that Holy Spirit of promise. In this the children of God were manifest." Now, I thought I knew what that word meant. The dictionary made it very simple. It just says an itemized list of passengers or cargo. Are we going to be on our God's list? Because if you read the next sentence, it says, and I'll read that again, "In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil are also manifest. Which list do you want to be on? Who are we going to serve? Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." And love our brothers and sisters that can't speak for themselves. In Isaiah, the 40th chapter, in the 21st verse, we're asked four questions. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told to you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundation of the earth? In the men's prayer service this morning, Brother Mike talked about their visit with his father this last week, with his father. And his father is 92, I believe he said, has ministered, has brought the message here before. And he is concerned about these end times and the fractions and factions that are out there that we have broke off into, and what is going to happen to the kingdom if we do not come together and worship properly and just study. The word is there. We need to spend time daily in our study habits. 1 Samuel, the 2nd chapter, and the 2nd verse has this to say. And I didn't think about it because I hate to be honest with Joe, but in preparing and praying about this, I hadn't bothered reading the weekly scripture. But this fits in. "There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none besides him," or besides thee. "Neither is there any rock like our God." Brothers and sisters, are we going to worship our God, or are we going to worship mammon? We can't do both. Not if we want to be with him. If you look back at the clock, and please don't do that, trust me, it says 25 minutes to 12. It won't be long and we'll be partaking of the broken body and the spilt blood of our Lord and Savior in remembrance of the sacrifice that He made in our behalf, that we might return to Him. We belong to this church. And if we do, then I would assume that we both believe, or that we all believe, that Joseph Smith was the 11th hour servant. That's why the hourglass is up here, as a remembrance of that. Because what happens after that hour? Midnight. Another 12 o'clock, not the one we're looking for, but the one later. When our Savior comes for His bride. And if you read in Matthew, the 25th chapter, and pay close attention, we know the story about the five wise virgins who have oil in their lamps and the five foolish. And if you read just a little bit further, He goes into the wedding feast and the door is closed and the five foolish cannot go in. Brothers and sisters, it is on us which of those we're going to be. Now, if we think about midnight, this might not be the best example of how close we are to that hour. So I brought an egg timer. Now, the problem with this egg timer, some moisture or something's got in and some sand is stuck together, and it won't go for 3 minutes. So it's broke. But if you think about 3 minutes... for an egg, are we in the final 3 minutes of our days here before our Savior comes? And if that's the case, we don't have much time to follow our Lord and to prepare our lives. Just as our two young brothers will partake of the bread and the wine, the broken body and spilt blood of our Savior this day, so will those of us that are adults. Are we going to be partaking of it worthily? Are we willing to follow our Lord and our God no matter what the cost? That is our calling and our job and our responsibility. And I would ask us to each remember that this day when we reach forth, that tomorrow will come and we have to continue. We can't throw it aside just on a Sunday.